is Rob Stone from Fox Sports.
Hey guys, this is Cole Liker.
Hi, I'm Neil Collins.
You are listening to the Unused Substitute.
The Unused Substitute.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
Get off the pitch!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I...
Ball's going to bounce down. It's three in the box. Bicycle kick! Goal! Rowdies! What a play! What a shot! And it's 1-0 Rowdies!
So welcome. We've got a little bit of a I don't know about how you're going to do it on your end, Phil, but we're going to do it, I think, on a day of game kind of thing. A little bit of a crossover between some friends and family and the Beautiful Game Network family. We've got Phil here from Phil. This is how early season it is. I'm totally drawing a blank. What's your show called again?
Oh, STL Soccer Report.
Okay.
And the USL show. That's probably what people know me more for.
True. Always a fun one. I just saw the new one pop up in my my podcast program today. I haven't downloaded it yet though. So we're gonna do a little bit of preview of Rowdies St. Louis, an early season clash of the Titans, two unbeaten, separated by just one goal in the differential. Phil, what's been St. Louis's key to success so far?
Solid defense. We've played two teams that were expected to be very, very good based on their overloading of their rosters, basically, in Indy 11 and Nashville SC. And both teams against us have looked almost mediocre or decent, you know, but not great. And then Indy 11, the only clue that perhaps St. Louis is that good defensively is that Indy 11 went in and did a really good job attacking Charlotte. And so, you know, we don't know if St. Louis is that good or Charlotte's defense might be that open. But there's a good chance St. Louis is very good, having defeated two very quality, assumedly quality teams in Indy 11 and Nashville.
And we were just kind of talking about the same thing on our show a few minutes ago. Like, our first game was on the road at Memphis, and it's a giant, like, enigma, because it's the first time those guys have played a competitive game against each other. You know, we spoke to Neil Collins before they went out and headed out to Memphis, and he's like, you know, there's only been one or two open preseason games where we could get a look at what they're doing. So it's pretty much impossible to take anything away from that other than, hey, we won a game. Okay, cool. Last week felt like a chance to figure out more about us, because you kind of know what a Bob Lilly team is going to do. And, you know, talking to the players after the game, that was kind of the way I put it to them, is it's early season. There's some different players out there, but Bob Lilly is Bob Lilly. And you know kind of what the he's going to present as a team. And it felt like getting a 2-0 win against them was a pretty significant thing. But looking at this weekend's matchup, like I think this is going to be probably a bigger game, I think, for both teams. And that's what we were kind of talking about with ourselves, was are people getting, because I saw the USL article today about he thinks people are getting way too excited about the Rowdies. And I'm like, I haven't talked to anybody that's super excited. Not in terms of like, oh, I don't even follow the team, but just like, we've been here before and we've seen how it can go south. So there's a lot of cautious optimism. And I kind of wonder, are, you know, are you getting the credit for the wins, or are they giving you more credit because these teams that are supposed to be good maybe aren't that good and they're trying to back that up? I don't know. In the end, I guess it's really too early to know anything, probably.
It is, and I do think in two more weeks we'll be able to kind of start pulling actual, you know, comparisons and trusting some of our data. But I do think that people are giving us credit, if that's the question. But I know a lot of us, just like, you know, just like Tulsa fans, St. Louis fans have been beaten down a little bit until very recently. And so we are warranting the hell out of these wins as well, saying, you know, there's a long season. We're, in a way, we may be really lucky that we're facing these two teams early in the season like this, because while they have a lot of talent, it's all new and being thrown together after a preseason. So, you know, facing them early might have been the best thing we could have done. And so the games later in the season might be a little more indicative of what both teams are like.
All right. So we've both got a couple sets of questions to ask each other. Why don't you, we'll let you start off.
Yeah. So, I would like to walk St. Louis fans, and this may be boring for your guys, but, I'd like to walk St. Louis fans a little bit through, last year's history, because we were in the West, so we didn't get to experience, if people didn't keep up with the East, what big events went down for you guys last year. You went from being a totally loaded team to selling the team and losing some key players. Can you kind of walk us through that just to get us started?
If Netflix does another season of a series of unfortunate events, they could just replay our entire season from last year and save money on casting actors. Like, started out pretty good, hit some of our usual road troubles. Got bounced out of the Open Cup in the first game against, was it Jacksonville United U23s or something. The coach is fired. Our best defender retires to become the coach. Lose a couple more players during the season to midseason retirements. One of our, probably our best attacking midfielder, Marcel Schaefer, retires to become the sporting director of his boyhood club, Wolfsburg, in the Bundesliga. Like our captain, our kind of longest serving player, defender, Tamika Makandawiri, retires to pursue other career opportunities in California. Joe Cole retires at the end of the year. The team is sold by Bill Edwards to the Tampa Bay Rays organization. And it's been, you know, like Neil brought in some players middle of the year, some who came in with kind of high expectations, some who came in as kind of unknowns. The players with the high expectations, like a Poku, and expectations may have been, you know, higher than they should have been, didn't really live up to it. While guys who came in as kind of unknowns, like Dominic Oduro, the other one, or the other one, depending on your point of view, Afram Taku, like these guys made a pretty big impact on the team. Some of them got brought back for another year. Just missed out on the playoffs. I may be kind in saying that. It might be my green and gold colored glasses just tuning out what happened at the end of last season. But there's been a huge overhaul. We brought back 8 players from last season. Almost a whole new defense, almost brand new goalkeepers. We've gone a lot younger in terms of players on the roster. Everyone's 28 and under, except for our backup keeper, who's 33. With Neil Collins's connections in English football, we've signed a partnership deal with Norwich City. Have one of their players on loan who has started, and I think he played. I think he's played 90 minutes in both games so far. Caleb Richards, have another player, Jordan Doherty, on loan from Dan. He's from Cardiff City, right?
Who?
Jordan Doherty.
I don't think. I think he was Sheffield, wasn't he?
I thought he was Cardiff. I'll have to double check and see. But we've got some young guys on loan. Doherty hasn't played yet, and we're kind of figuring out what we are this year.
Yeah, you are. And so I guess that was going to be kind of my next question is Fernandez looks really good. You named a couple players in the game. I watched most of the game. I was surprised Opoku wasn't playing, but I guess maybe he was overhyped a little bit is kind of what you were alluding to there.
Well, and you know, he was coming back from Russia. He hadn't had a lot of playing time, so I think he needed to play himself back into shape. But the formation that we're playing right now, and Dan, you're smarter than me about this stuff, correct me if I'm wrong, but the formation that we've been playing, this 3-5-2, doesn't really tend to lend itself to him. We're not playing the ball through the middle that much. Most of the offense is running through the wings, and it's kind of not his spot. He's been on the bench for both games, but hasn't gotten in yet. We'll have to wait and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Any other key? Well, you know, Brandon Allen, it seems like a bit of a you know, mark of the beast kind of player as of late. He's been bouncing around and hasn't been successful in a bit. How have you felt about him so far? Because I've had negative, it's a negative connotation to me these days.
Dan was actually talking about him on the show tonight. So, Dan, I'll let you handle this one.
I am still withholding judgment, but I will say for a guy that of his size, he doesn't seem to live up to the physical standard I would expect. He was losing some battles against players smaller than him, and just underwhelming so far for me, but it's early, so I'm not going to railroad him yet, but I don't know how many starts he'll end up getting under Neil.
Yeah, I you cut out there for a second, so I hope I didn't miss this already, but there was a really bad missed finish from that cross from Leo Fernandez, right, early in that game?
Yes.
Yeah, that was rough, but, you know, he's not going to miss a lot of those, I'm sure. But that one...
I don't know how many starts he'll get. We have 7 strikers signed, so yeah, we're deep there. So playing time will be precious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we were talking before we started recording, but you guys, I wasn't sure what to expect, and I was with you where I'm not going to trust the quality of the team quite yet. And I kind of have two thoughts in that regard. First of all, I watched most of the game from this last week, and I thought you guys looked very good. I really liked what I saw, and you guys should be really excited about the season because at least at home against a decent team like the Riverhounds, you guys have looked very good. I think you should be proud of that game for sure. But the other thing I was thinking was, I was thinking how you've lost a lot of like the stars, the crazy stars and the high expectations that come along with that. Do you think this is a more practical team? I know the payroll is probably lower. Do you think even the practicality of the team, if I'm correct, is something that'll balance you more? Like when you go away, the guys will be a little more evened out. How are you feeling about all of that?
Personally, I think we're an actual USL squad now.
Right.
we fit the league. And like you said, there's more balance to this team. Sure, like, you know, having Joe Cole and Marcel Schaefer was nice. But we have USL veterans. We're younger, so they can keep up with the rest of the league. And I definitely would say I prefer this team, like the younger team. I mean, it was an honor to watch Joe Cole and Marcel, like I said. But I'm looking forward to a team built for the league it's in, and that can handle the travel and the rest of what an American lower league team has, what it demands.
Yeah.
And you kind of echoing what Dan said, Marcel and Joe are two of the nicest guys you'll ever meet as far as having played extremely high level professional soccer. I hope we see them both back at Al Lang sometime soon. They did compete, they did do well, but they also had kind of had the added burden of being the name guy. Like, you know, when we first signed Joe Cole, back in the NASL, the Cosmos were running promo codes. Like there was a lot of additional pressure on these guys to bring fans out, to engage fans, not just home, but away too. And I think, you know, none of these guys have that pressure on them. Just go out there and play is kind of it. And, you know, the big personality, the big name For us is still going to be Neil Collins, because he was, you know, our best player, our best defender for several years. So it's kind of, you know, he's the face right now. And yes, I think it's a team better built for playing in the USL and the type of season and the type of travel. So, yeah, I'll go with Dan. I probably prefer this. I think it's a more reasonable team, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was guessing, and I'm glad to hear that you guys kind of feel the same way. I'm not way off base with that. But you were, you know, talking about Neil Collins, how much of the way the team looks, they look solid, like I said. Do you think a lot of that is not just the practicality, but it's also Neil got a full preseason and a team that he put together, I'm sure, for the most part. Do you think he's a big part of why it looks a little more solid this year as well?
Absolutely. I mean, 2/3 of the team is new to Tampa Bay. And one of the things when he came, like last year, we didn't have a much of a preseason. I want to say it was only 4 or 5 games. It didn't really seem like it was enough preparation. And Neil kind of echoed those feelings to last year. And this year came in and made a point to, there were several closed door games. There were several scrimmages against local colleges. I think they even played another one the day on Sunday, on St. Patrick's Day, against another local university. I'm going to assume mostly guys who didn't play on Saturday, but even found time to schedule in like a little road trip. They went up to Southwest Georgia and played Tormenta from League One and one of the colleges up there too. So a little kind of team bonding trip. But that was one of Neil's big things, was that, you know, they really weren't ready for last season to start, which is probably why there was a little bit of a strong start, and then it kind of fell off the cliff. There were a lot of injuries, all this kind of stuff that didn't seem like none of the stuff we saw coming last year, I would say.
Yeah. And even when Neil took over, there was some solidifying happening. I know injuries were a big part of the problem in the back line too. So you could see that Neil was like organizing and making things a little better in some ways, but you guys just had such a hard hill to climb, you know, a steep hill to climb, and it just never really came together well. But this year, it seems pretty solid already. So,
yeah, he had mentioned something to us about a week or so ago. Like at certain points last year, he was picking lineups based on, well, this guy's healthy.
Right.
So there we go.
This is very unfortunate. And a lot of teams get there throughout the season. So, you know, we'll see how many of us are going to be saying that, because St. Louis got a bit of that last year too. But
right.
Yeah, but I mean, speaking of St. Louis, I think that's mostly, until we kind of talk about what we're going to see in the next game, I thought I'd ask if there's anything you wanted to talk about with St. Louis, any questions, or if you just kind of wanted to talk about the next game.
All right. So it's an odd year, which means you guys are back in the East.
Right.
For now, maybe they're going to switch you guys at midseason. Like, we don't, USL doesn't do promotion relegation. We just do St. Louis swapping, is pretty much apparently. Yeah. And now Swope Park too. So could you tell us a little bit about your season last year? I know you guys made the playoffs, and what were the kind of the big offseason changes between this year and last year?
Yeah, so the nice thing is that we also kept our coach and about 11 players from last year, which is really nice, because this is our third coach and this is our fifth season. So so that was nice to kind of keep the same coach and the same ideals, mostly the same process of thinking as far as how to play soccer. And the guys weren't quite as surprised about the system this year. We had a big bulk of them already knew it, and then we just had to kind of fill in the blanks with the new guys. So that was really nice. But last year, it was the first time we made the playoffs, and the party for just making the playoffs was it was huge. St. Louis fans are really dedicated to soccer. There's not a million of us. There's only about, 4,000 to 6,000 of us every week, but very dedicated fans. And it was a huge party when we finally made the playoffs for the first time in our fourth year of existing. So, it was a big deal. It was a big deal. And Pulis made it happen, by the skin of his teeth, kind of. We kind of barely got in there and got bounced out of the playoffs with a red card. I say the red card, we were down a goal, but the red card really sealed the finish there. against a team that we beat every time we saw him in the regular season in Orange County. So, you know, that's something to be proud of, though, for St. Louis. It's definite improvement. And the thing about this year is, like I said, returning so many players, the players that we didn't return, it feels like we've upgraded most of them, if not all of them. Wallfall was a big loss, but we've upgraded so many other positions that his loss has been kind of made up for, especially in the attacking side, by putting in much better attacking fullbacks who can still keep up with the defensive side as last year, and adding Joaquin Rivas from Tulsa is a really he's a dangerous attacker and someone to be feared in the final third for sure, in the right day, in the right system. So, yeah, the defense is our MO, but you know, it seems like our attack so far has kicked in when it's needed, but it's by no means prolific. So that's kind of to kind of get you up to date from last year.
That kind of sounds familiar to what we've been talking about lately.
The other thing, I got a similar vibe, to be honest with you, because the defense was so solid for this last game you guys played. I really think it's going to be an interesting battle in that way.
Yeah, I was so I don't know if you ever have used this, but on the USL site, if you go on the stats page, you can do a comparison between two teams, with like their like, you know, recent stats and in certain areas. And I always like doing that. I throw some of that stuff into our show when we do it on every week as kind of a preview thing. It's kind of pointless right now in the beginning of the season, but one of the things that kind of stood out to me is that both Neil and the players have talked about that their goal is to play, and I'm sure every coach says this at some point, more attractive attacking soccer. And through two games, we've registered 13 shots total on and off target, and I think you guys had like 11 in your last game. Mm-hmm. So offenses, I think, are still finding their way, finding their chemistry, who's going to work well and do well with what pairings. And like Dan was saying, like, you know, not just seven forwards, we've also got seven midfielders, seven defenders as well. So there's definitely fights for spots out there going on. But the other thing I was going to ask you about is kind of the other big conversation going on has been with around St. Louis has been the MLS push. And I'm sure the players are kind of, you know, they're just focused on what they're doing, but what impact have you seen this have kind of in the soccer community in St. Louis and at the stadium?
You know, I thought the impact would be a little bit bigger. I know when they kind of announced it last year, it was kind of toward the playoff push and it felt very planned. You know what I mean? And it helped our attendance quite a bit. You know, there was a large vibe of people wanting MLS to come and they jumped to the St. Louis FC games. And we always get a good push around that time anyway, I think just because of where sports seasons are in St. Louis and the weather starts cooling off. It's just like a perfect storm and we get a good push at the end. So I don't even know if it was MLS, but I'm not feeling a giant giant attendance bump necessarily, but we are seeing, you know, they have the MLS for the Lou hashtag and we're seeing those hats and scarves everywhere, not just at games, but like, just every St. Louis event, I'm seeing those hats and scarves being worn. You know, there's a St. Patrick's Day parade in my neighborhood last week, or on Sunday rather, and I saw at least five that day. So it's a big thing. St. Louis is going to really go crazy for MLS. I assume it's going to come, even if it's not this year at some point. I think it's going to make its way to St. Louis, and I think it'll do well here. Other than attendance, though, I do want to say that the local media has picked up more on St. Louis FC than ever. So, you know, you expect that, but for it to not be here yet, for them to already be buying in, that's actually pretty good, I would say. Because last time we tried to push it, it didn't get that much attention locally.
And that's something else, you know, we've kind of talked – other people have asked us about, you know, what's it like with the Rays ownership now? That's something that I've kind of noticed a little bit, is there's more media attention locally because the Rays are just kind of a more well-known and in some cases more media friendly outfit than Bill Edwards was.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
Dan, do you want to ask anything before we get to the game?
I think I'm good. I think we're covered.
All right. All right, so let's talk about Saturday coming up. Tampa Bay is traveling to St. Louis for the game. So the first year that we were in USL, your coach was coaching Orlando City B, which meant we already didn't like him. Right. I did travel there for the game. I watched the game, which ended up being a 1-1 draw on a garbage penalty late. If I'm making my feelings about that one clear, and I'm still bitter about it. And I'm going to keep my personal feelings out of this. I just don't like your coach. It's
fair enough.
We had the post game interview, and he kind of spent the entire time calling everybody on the Rowdies divers, and
really?
Well, not in so many words. He said Stuart Campbell's got a very crafty veteran team that knows how to manipulate the officials and take advantages. Wow. And so,
you know, like, he doesn't Dan do really that a hates, lot. That's huh? really interesting. He doesn't do that a lot. So that's really interesting. He must have been pretty worked up.
He was pretty vocal. And it's, you know, him and Stu knew each other from England. I don't know if there's maybe some bad blood or something there, but they had played against each other, I think, in like one game, like as he was coming up and Stu was transitioning to the sidelines. So I'm interested to see. I know I was taking a look at the roster to see if there's any familiar names. And I know there's, you know, he's brought over some of the former OCB players that he had. What are you, based on what you've seen so far this season, what do you expect to see on Saturday?
Yeah, I think the first thing, even for both teams, will be to make sure the game doesn't get out of hand. Because if one team, you know, I would say even if St. Louis gets out ahead, they may even just sit back, give you the ball. They don't care about possession whatsoever. So if they get one goal up, they may just start trusting their defense, and you guys will have an uphill battle at that point. But I would say defense is going to be kind of key first. But if you guys are able to kind of catch a lead, that's going to look good for you guys, because it looks like you can defend as well. So I would say defense is key. What would you guys consider being kind of key for that game?
Dan, what do you think?
Definitely for us, our defense, but also, I mean, playing a 3-5-2, our midfield controlling a bit and covering for that. I mean, Diakite is leading the league, I think, in clearances. But if we, you know, if Aduro is covering, and we have that question mark on who's taking Barry's spot on the right there. But I think if Steinberger gets active and the wings can get involved, it is a key for me. Like, that midfield battle is what's important.
I completely agree, because I think that's kind of where St. Louis kind of has, it's where they've been strong against Indy and Nashville. And I noticed exactly the same thing from the Rowdies in the last game. And I thought it was the biggest surprise to me in that game. I don't know if the Riverhounds kind of had a bad game, but it just felt like all the duels were going in the Rowdies' favor. And maybe I don't always, you know, I don't have the best eyes, so maybe I just was missing things or looking into things, but gosh, you guys, it seems like the talent was there to outplay a Riverhounds, a Bob Lilly team. And that was even more shocking to me. Did you guys feel that was the case?
Yeah, I definitely felt like we were winning those duels and getting into the spots where we can make a play against the Lilly team. I mean, obviously they're hard to break down, but it felt like we were, I don't know, maybe it was luck or something, but it did feel like it was tilted in our direction.
Nice.
Yeah, I was looking forward to this, and, you know, because of, you know, you kind of know what to expect from Bob Lilly and his teams. The fact that we were able to get two goals, especially if you watch the last one, I don't know if you saw that one, the way Sean Barry just kind of carves through their defense on coming from the sideline in to set up Steinberger for the redirect for the goal. I'm, you know, really kind of sad now that we're going to miss him this weekend, because he's off on international duty. And that just is, while Dan was talking, I was looking at something here. You mentioned Rivas earlier. It looks like he's going to be out as well with El Salvador. How's that going to change St. Louis's lineup, do you think?
Well, I feel like they've been kind of preparing for this because they've been almost like not using him as a main piece in the first couple games. I think he started the second game, but he's been subbed on or subbed off in both games. And I think that's why, because I do think he's going to be a main piece throughout the season, but right now they don't want him to be the focus of the attack. And so I think they've been making sure they focus on getting the wingers in that are going to be here even through these little international breaks. And then I imagine they'll incorporate him later. But he was a key part of the second goal in the first game after he subbed on. So, you know, he's a dangerous guy, and he knows how to pick out a pass, and even more so he can put a ball almost wherever he wants it, you know, within 40 yards, which is pretty good. So, yeah, definitely watch Rivas, but he may have a bit of a tame role. Obviously not tomorrow because he's gone, but I do think the team will be okay without him.
All right, so
I agree. I agree that Sean Davis, he looked incredible. Sean Barry, he looked incredible. So that's actually kind of a relief to me too that he might not be there to be the extreme personality that he is on the field there.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see how we're gonna fill that spot. So that kind of just popped in my head. So if you had to pick one person to keep an eye on, and you asked me about this when you went back to watch your game, like what to keep an eye on, if you had to pick one player right now that the Rowdy should keep an eye on, who would you say and why?
Man, that's a good question. We rotated Kyle Gregg out after the first game, and he was our biggest scorer last year by far. So I'm going to say we're probably bringing him back, and he's going to be a main piece, Kyle Gregg. But, I'm just going to say him because I think he's probably going to start this game.
All right, I've got one in mind for us, but I want to see what Dan says.
What was the question again? Sorry.
What's one Rowdy's player that St. Louis should probably keep an eye out for?
Steinberger, man, he is everywhere. Like he's gonna get forward. Obviously, he scored our second goal. He's just a ball of energy out there, and I think he's the one you want to keep an eye on because he's the one that's gonna make things happen.
Okay, I'm gonna go with Juan Tejada.
So I didn't see him come on, but what did he look like when he did?
So Juan started the first game against Memphis. He actually drew the penalty that Guinzotti converted for what ended up being the final scoreline. But he's a local kid. He came to Florida from Panama, went to high school at IMG down here, played at Eckerd College in St. Pete, played for the Lakeland Tropics in D1, and kind of was a trialist in preseason. Got signed and ended up starting on the first game. He looks a little bit like, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Hackers. He looks like Phantom Freak on Zerdan Shaqiri's body. He's short. He's fast. He's like a nonstop ball of energy. He started the first game. He subbed on in the 60th, 65th. Minute on Saturday, and one thing he's done so far, and it's been very effective at least, anytime there's a goal kick, he is going full steam at the keeper, and I've seen at least three goal kicks in the first two games that the keeper has, you know, shanked or tried to adjust and get around him and just sent it straight out of bounds. Like, he forces some things to happen when he gets in on both ends of the ball. He's extremely quick and he never stops running. So if he's out there, he's a disruptive force.
That makes a lot of sense. And I will say that Albert Dequa is that guy for us, an athletic freak in a way, not quite as extreme as what you guys are saying about him, but Dequa is similar to that. And then Lewis Hilton is also our Steinberg. So, yeah, I mean, our teams are really similar. This is going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Do you have any other questions? Because I was going to hit you up for a prediction.
No, let's do predictions. I'll start. I think I'm going to say 2-1 St. Louis, and I think it'll be a grinded out 2-1. I don't think it's going to be pretty.
All right. I'm going to ask for some extra info. I made a prediction on our show already, but knowing the way the Rowdies play sometimes on the road, what's the field? What's the pitch made out of? Is it authentic or is it artificial?
Artificial, but standard.
Oh man, on the road, artificial turf.
I know it's boy, all in our favor.
Person can only have two Achilles heels, and that's two of the Rowdies ones right there. Although they did win in Memphis on a not so beautifully converted baseball field. I'm gonna go with a 1-1 draw. I said it on our show and I'll stick with it here.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm sticking with a 1-1 draw as well. I think it'll be a grinder of a game, but I think both these teams are fairly equal, and I think it'll show on the scoreboard.
Very nice. Well, thank you guys. You feel pretty confident that that's enough for today?
I think so. Any last questions, anyone?
No, I think I'm good.
All right.
Sweet. Well, then I'll close this out if you don't mind, because we're both BGN, so I will just say thank you to our sponsor, Roughneck Scarves, official scarf supplier of MLS, USL, and US Soccer. Get custom scarves for your group or team at roughneckscarves.com. Matt, Dan, thanks so much for doing this, guys. I appreciate it.
No problem. It was a pleasure. We'll have to do it again in July.
Oh, yeah. And I'm in Tampa for it. So I'm going to see you guys. We can do it in person. How great
nice.
Is that?
Yes.
All right. We don't even do our own show in person, but we will make this happen.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to get beers and we're going to talk, even if it's into an iPhone or something. It's going to happen.
Definitely. We're doing this.
All right, guys. Thanks again.
All right. Talk to you later,
man.